Also, what helps in a daily practice, what's absolutely critical, is not being idealistic. You will sit, if you do it during this week in a regular way, and maybe on Monday you'll be able to be with your breath all right. On Tuesday it will be terrible, and on Wednesday it will be worse than that. Then Thursday it might be better again, and Friday again terrible. That is not your job. Your job is to stamp your little card in the time clock, put your fanny on the cushion or the chair, and sit down and take whatever you get, which is whatever state your body and mind is in, and begin right there to relate to that. Even if you're frantic at the end of a day and you sit and you can watch 3 breaths in 20 minutes and the rest is a lot of thinking, do it anyway. Hold your body still and watch at least 3 breaths. It's through the practice of it, just like getting your fingers to work a piano, that after a while you learn the art. So a regular time, a regular place, not having much expectation, just doing it. Don't be discouraged. We've spent probably 100 million moments of wandering mind in this very lifetime. So to expect to change the wandering mental habit overnight is not very likely. It works, but it takes perseverance and a gentleness and a training of yourself. Any questions about daily practice?
Do you have any suggestions about how to know when 15, 20 minutes are up?
Yes. You can do two things. You can either get a little timer, you know, set a beep watch or something, or some kind of timer, or you can peek. I peek myself. You know, I'm a peeker. But you can do it either way. And you get a little sense of it after a while. Anything else?
How do you deal with interruptions?
Well, you mean like the phone ringing and stuff? If you can turn it off, try and make a place where there isn't. But if there's some necessary interruption, then you do it and you go back and you try to sit again for the following 10 minutes. You just do the best you can with it. But see if you can create a space with a minimum of interruptions, even if it's just for 15 minutes. Sometimes we get interrupted. Having children, I know that very well. Please.
Is there any special way we should hold our hands?
Your hands should be wherever they're comfortable. They can be in your lap or on your knees. In whatever way allows your shoulders to be relaxed and your chest to be open and your belly soft. To experiment with posture, to find a way to sit where you're upright and at the same time relaxed. This balance of being awake, upright, and yet soft. And so you might experiment with a couple of different hand positions until you find what feels good for you. Last question.
Should the breath be through the nostrils?
For the most part, I recommend that, but sometimes people can't do that because they have a cold or whatever. In that case, you can be aware of the breath through the mouth and so forth. It's not a breathing exercise. It's really an exercise of training of awareness, of presentness. So wherever you feel the breath is okay. Now, a quick story. There was a young Hasidic rabbi who trained in mystical things, not very well, but he decided he wanted to teach anyway. And he went to a town where there was a famous master, set up shop, and nobody came to study with him. So he thought, I've got to get myself some students. How will I do that? And he devised a plan. He went one day to the master, who was surrounded by many, many students, and he had in his hand a small bird. And his idea was this. He went and he faced the master, and he said, if you're such a great master, tell me if the bird in my hand is alive or is it dead? The idea was this. If the master said that the bird was dead, he'd open his hand and the bird would fly out. The master would be wrong and embarrassed, and the young guy would get some students. If the master said that the bird was alive, he would quickly crush it in his hand and say, see, it's dead. And again, the master would be wrong, and he would get some students for himself. So he gets himself ready, and he goes in front, and everyone's watching, and he has the bird, little bird in his hand, and he confronts the master, and he says, well, you're such a great master, you tell me. Is the bird in my hand alive or is it dead? And the master looks back at him and he says, really, my friend, it's up to you. Similarly, I'll try to give you the best instructions for practice that I know how. We're starting really simply, just feeling the breath in the body, training the mind, bringing it back gently like the puppy, noticing where you feel it at the nose or the belly, establishing a regular practice, seeing that meditation has a broad context, that how you live your life, your speech and your action will connect with how quiet you become on your pillow. Give as useful teachings as I can. The rest is for you to take and practice and find what value you can in it.
This concludes the first class on the inner art of meditation. Our program continues with the second class with Jack Kornfield.
I'd like to welcome you to this second in a series of five classes, which are an introduction to Vipassana, or Buddhist insight meditation. When we came last week, I both talked about my own background and that I have trained as a monk in various Buddhist monasteries in Asia, but also I'm a father and a householder and a psychologist, and I'm interested in making the meditation practices and teachings of the East that were very important to me useful and valuable in a Western context. So that's how this will be taught, not as Buddhism where you become Buddhists, but really as meditation that might be useful for you as you sit or walk or drive or eat or relate to the people in your lives. And there's some wonderful tools. I learned more in those monasteries than I did in a lot of years of graduate school doing a PhD. There was a very deep kind of psychology and understanding. And some of those we will cover as we go through what is called the foundations of mindfulness, or the basic aspects of awareness that we can train in. Now, last week, we started in a simple way, and I'll review it when we do our first sitting, by working with the breath as the first object of meditation. And we really talked about how the step that's necessary to begin a spiritual practice is to come into the present moment. Like the sign in Las Vegas said, you must be present to win. If you want to discover how your mind works or what's going on with fear or why you're restless or how you might live more contentedly, or what's happening in your body, the first thing that's necessary is to bring the body and mind together, to get here in some immediate way with what's present. So beside introducing posture and sitting last week, I also talked about the Eightfold Path of Buddhism. The gist of it is simply that if we want to awaken, in Buddhism the word Buddha means to awaken, what is necessary is to develop this capacity to be conscious or aware. Using initially, we'll work with our breath last week, and this week with our body, and then following that with feelings in the heart next week, and then with the mind and all of its plans and memories and strategies and creativity, and then finally with eating and walking and how to make it part of our life. But if we want to do that, we need to have an understanding first that spiritual life isn't just in one posture, but it is really how we relate to waking up the whole of our life. That if you want to calm yourself or open your heart or see in a clear way, you have to connect your life to that and speak what's more truthful, act in ways that are more conscious and less harmful, get in harmony with the world around. And then the correct effort that's necessary is simply the effort to be still and listen. It's not the effort to change oneself, but to discover the nature of the mind and the body and both how we do relate to it and what is our potential, our Buddha nature, our potential of love or our potential of understanding. And again, I read a quote, I don't know where it is, last week from Pope John the 23rd, where he said, sometimes I wake at night and I start thinking about a problem, difficulty, and decide that I must go and talk to the Pope about it. And then I wake up more completely and remember I am the Pope. And in some way, that's what meditation is about, is really remembering or reawakening this capacity that each of us has to live more wisely, more lovingly, more compassionately, and more fully in our experience. So we were going to take a few more minutes for questions before the first sitting. The questions that were asked so far, for those who came in late, someone talked about it getting a little easier as they sat during the week, which is terrific, that their body started to settle down. It was then only their mind that didn't, which is pretty good as far as this game goes. And then somebody else said that for them it was the opposite, that their body settled a little bit, but they got more and more restless, and how one might work with that. And we'll get to that as we go along. Then somebody else said their body started to move and rock, and I suggested sitting as best as you can in a way that's fairly still, even though that release of movement is kind of common or natural. And someone else noticed that they think a lot, and as they paid attention carefully, they saw that they did most of the thinking when they were afraid, and that when they weren't afraid, then there wasn't all this planning. And when the planning was there, it was almost the signal that there was fear underneath. So there were a number of other questions, people who raised their hands.
I started to look forward to doing it every day, but about, I don't know, probably 15 minutes later, I started to plan about how I was going to reward myself for doing 20 minutes. Uh-huh.
So you look forward to it for a while, and then 15 minutes into it, it got physically difficult, and then you thought, well, after I'm done, I'll get up and I'll have an ice cream or whatever reward is in your particular system, a beer. Good. Other people. This is all really the stuff of beginning meditation. Please.
Initially, it brought up a lot of emotions for me. In the first few days, it was okay. And then I found during the day I was in a lot of pain and stuff. And I was sort of dreading meditating because I didn't agitate or notice more of that.
So for you, sitting initially served to bring up or make you aware of a great deal of emotion. And at first that was okay, but then it got more difficult to the point where you would be afraid to sit because it was going to bring more up. That's such an important question, as is the person who said their body's settling down but their mind is still restless, that I want to take a good part of an evening to address it. That's the good news. The not so good news is it's going to be next week rather than this week. Because this week we're going to still continue to work with the body. But I'll give you an answer that's just the gist of what we're going to get to. We started to work with the breath and use the breath as a way to bring the mind and body together instead of having the mind wander to Muir Beach or Los Angeles or Disneyland, or 1958, or 1992, or God knows how many places you go, even in 15 minutes when we're here together, to bring the mind and body together, and to start to train ourselves to be present. It's not an easy thing, but it's possible. Then when you do, what happens is you start to be aware of a lot more that's going on in your body, and you have to learn how to relate to it. And the basic relation, as we'll see this evening, will be to make that part of the meditation. Next week, when we start to work with the heart and the emotions, we will include that so that if you feel happy or frightened or sad and that arises, what you do is you sit with it and you name it the way we're naming the breath in and out. You name it sad, or whatever. And you really let yourself feel it and begin to learn about it rather than trying to push it away. So that's a very simple answer, and I'll talk a lot more about really specifically how you can do that. In that sense, as I said last week, this meditation isn't one that takes an object like an image or a candle flame or a sacred word and says it over and over, but begins to use the stuff of our actual experience itself as the way to become meditative. You know how much of our life we live on automatic pilot? and how many meals or how far we drive, or how you can even go to a really beautiful place. You can go out to Point Reyes Park or up in the Sierras, and you're walking along this gorgeous place, and for the past half an hour, 25 minutes has been thinking, what are you going to do when you get home, you know, and what you left, what was on the stove, what's in the bills for, you know, the tax season this year, and maybe even what you're going to tell somebody about what a great time you're having walking in the woods, right? But we don't live so much here. And the whole art or spirit of meditation is to train us or to awaken and establish this other possibility. And we started, in a moment we'll do it again, with the breath, and then this evening more with the body, and following that further with other dimensions of our life. So let's do our first sitting. Let me review in a few seconds about posture. Try to find a posture where you can sit both comfortably and stably so that your knees aren't way up in the air and you don't have to squirm around a lot. It may mean at home experimenting by sitting on several cushions instead of one so you're up high enough, or squatting on a cushion, or sitting on a chair or one of these little benches, and you would do well to experiment some to find some posture. Finding a place where you can sit that is stable and comfortable, where you can hold your body still for 15 or 20 minutes. The stilling of the physical body helps in the quieting of the mind. Then in a moment, when we start, we're going to close our eyes gently just to minimize distractions and do the first exercise in the foundations of mindfulness, which is using the feeling or sensation of the breath to train the mind to not wander so much, to actually train or strengthen our awareness and concentration and be here more in the body. Now I'll tell you one story before we start. I had a friend who was a meditator, and she lived in a commune in British Columbia in the 1960s. And when they were there, she got pregnant, and they decided just to have a natural home delivery. And there wasn't a doctor, and there wasn't a midwife, but it was commune and 60s, and it was au naturel, right? We'll just do it ourselves. The animals do it. We can do it. Well, that's great, but it turned out that the baby was a breech delivery, which means it was feet instead of head first, and the cord was wrapped some, and it was a long and very difficult labor, especially for inexperienced people. And then when the baby came out, he was very blue, and he didn't start to breathe, and they didn't have oxygen or anything there. And so they were rather frightened, and they held the baby, and then they started to do infant artificial respiration, just gently blowing into his lungs and so forth. And they'd do that for a little bit, and then they'd hold this little boy that they waited 9 months for, their son, their baby, and wait to see if he'd start to breathe. And he didn't. He'd pick him up and blow in his lungs a little bit more. He's fine now. He's 17. He's the star of his soccer team and school and stuff like that. So he did start to breathe, obviously. But his mother said to me sometime after that, she said, I'd been doing some meditation before that, and it was at that moment that I learned what it really meant to watch the breath, to feel the breath, and it wasn't even my own. She said, we just waited for the tiniest movement of breath. So for those of you who've been sitting for a week, in some ways the breath is boring. I know that's true. It's regular. Unless your head is underwater, you know, or you have a new... It becomes incredibly interesting at certain points of your life, you know? Or with a newborn baby. So for those of you who've been working with it for a week, what you might do tonight as we start again this first sitting with the breath for 15 minutes is to really begin to refine your awareness and let your eyes close now. You sit up. Let your eyes and face be soft. Can your shoulders and arms and hands be relaxed? Let your back be straight but not rigid, so you're sitting up and the breath can move freely, and yet the rest of your body is relaxed. The belly is soft. Let the breath breathe itself in its own rhythms. And even if it feels tight or controlled, do the best you can to let go. Let it even be a little tight or controlled if that's what it does. Your job is to feel it wherever it shows itself. Sensations in the nose or the back of the throat, the movement of the chest, the rise and fall of the belly. See if you can notice the beginning of a breath. It has a beginning and a middle and an end. And feel the whole sensation of it in some place or other, the whole tickling at the nose or the whole rising movement of the belly. Wherever you feel it, to stay with the duration of that breath. If it's helpful, you can say softly in the background, in during the in-breath and out during the out-breath, with 5% of your mind. Let 95% actually feel the sensations, the coolness, the pressure, the movement. And each time the mind wanders off, every one of those times, as soon as you notice it, let go of that place and come back gently and start with the next breath over and over. If the breath gets soft, let your attention also become very soft to feel the subtle movement of the sensations. Use the breath as a place to learn to listen with your attention. feel the sensations for the duration of the breath, wherever they show themselves. Sometimes there's a space between breaths. If there is a gap, then just be aware of feeling your body, the lips or the hands or the buttocks on the cushion, feeling and sensing in the body and waiting for the next breath to begin. Let the breath do whatever it will. Simply notice and feel how it is in this moment. One more minute. See if you can feel every breath for a minute. was that? Any questions that come up from that sitting again together? Was it easier to sit together? Does that help or make it more difficult?
Yes.
It does help. You're too embarrassed to move, I know. Please.
I have pictures, so my eyes are closed. Mm-hmm. And they're always there. And I find that if my eyes are lowered, I get one kind of picture. Mm-hmm. And if I try to move up here, mm-hmm. then I get the universal eye or a face of a big lion or a big sun or something.
More archetypal picture.
More archetypal, yes, up here. And down here, they're just, I mean, they can be anything mm-hmm. from Disney characters, similar to Disney characters, to beautiful paintings, to anything. And so while I'm, you know, feeling like I'm focusing on my breath, I'm also sort of tripping out on the mm-hmm. pretty pictures.
It is Disney, by the way. That's exactly right. It's all Disney. It's done in much the same fashion. As best as you can, let the pictures or thoughts or other images that come, or words for that matter, for now let them be in the background. In a few weeks when we start to look directly at mind, we're going to work both with the word thoughts and with picture thoughts as a part of the meditation. But for this, at this point, let them be there, as you say. They're kind of there going on. And let most of your focus be to feel the breath, and those be in the background. And that's fine. You think in pictures. Some people here get no pictures, but they get a stream of words. Instead of the Disney on, they just get someone reading the dictionary or old Russian novels or things like that. But let it be in the background. It is distracting, and it's okay. Please.
I found my body, it was either falling over and I jerked back mm-hmm. or it jerked, and that happened a number of times.
Yeah.
It was like each time I would not have been aware of my breath and then would mm-hmm. come back to it.
So your body would fall forward a little bit and then you'd jerk back. Yeah. That is sleep. And one of the interesting things about sleep consciousness in Buddhist psychology, there's descriptions of all different kinds of consciousness. One of the functions of sleep consciousness that's absent is sleep consciousness does not have the capacity to hold the body erect. So that what happens is you start to get quiet, and some of you have had long days, you know, and you come and you sit to meditate, and really what the body says is, great, you know, it's quiet now. It must be bedtime, right? And so you start to sleep, and when a real moment of sleep comes, then you lose that for a second, and then your body feels it and it kind of wakes up again. What you can do with that, and again, next week we're going to talk very directly about working with sleepiness and restlessness as part of the different feelings that come. For now, you can keep your eyes open a little bit if you wish. Anyone who feels tired or sleepy or feels that would be helpful, you can have them kind of half open, not looking around, but just letting in a little light from what's in front of you. That sometimes can help. Sort of sitting up straighter, but it's natural. Sitting, in a way, is a reflection. It's like looking in the mirror. And if you've had a very tiring day, and when you sit down, what you'll see is sleep. Or if you've had a day where there's a lot of anxiety, when you first sit, what you will notice is anxiety. Or if there's a lot of emotion that's there in some way to be felt, as you sit, then you become aware of that. The sitting is really a way to see what is actually happening more clearly.
This concludes tape 2. Our program continues with tape 3.